Thank you. these things happen. Technology.
Yes.
Once it's on, he's going to do the last section of his piece. It's still blue.
What color should it be?
Red.
It should be red.
Yeah, but it was red before.
It was?
Yeah. But I guess it's not. Unless we reset the Wi-Fi again.
Well, that's probably what we're going to end up having to do.
Yeah. That's fine.
All
right.
So
who's the guy? That's Logan. And Logan has been our, when we were in person, he was our Vivo kid.
Got it.
So now that we're, at some point we're back, we're having him come to, to help out.
Lovely.
If I had my phone, I'd text the, I'd put something on Facebook.
Can I put something on Facebook for you? I've got my phone.
Well, I can do it.
Diane can
okay.
do it for
okay.
our, yeah. Just let people know we're experiencing a few technical difficulties. We'll be back.
Figured it out.
Now see, when we would be live and this would happen, it's like, oh well, you'll all just have
right.
to... You know.
I'll reset there again. Reset whole lock.
Take care of this house. Take care of this house. Just not right in the head. That's why we get along.
At the end of the year, we should get a bloopers reel and get all the different times disconnected.
That's clever.
Yeah, why not?
And of course, no one would be able to relate.
Oh,
right?
The bloopers from the Christmas videos, that's for sure.
Yeah, now we don't have to worry about hiding all the
what is Tiggy's last name?
Shields.
Ooh.
Is there a D?
No.
Shields?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, her family was part of the Stevens family.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Her daughter was Julia. Her sister was Julia Foote.
Yes.
Who died.
Okay.
In an accident here.
Stevens. So she is related to.
Related to Adelaide and
Andy
Harding.
11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6,
the end of the piece.
5, 4, 3.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to our Lord's Day service. We hope the service is a blessing to you. We're thankful that you waited. We had a few minutes of Wi-Fi problems, but I think they've been addressed. We'd like to welcome you to our 168th anniversary service. When this church began, it was not with a building, it was with a community. Ephraim was a wild, untamed forest when our forebears arrived, and they named the place Ephraim, which means to be doubly fruitful. And we are so grateful to God for 168 years. And we're so grateful that Cindy Steele is back with us. If you remember last year on Anniversary Sunday, Cindy lent her beautiful voice to this service for 167 years. So we figured it was only right for her to be back and be with us for this grand occasion. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Take care of this house, keep it from harm. If bandits break in, sound the alarm. Care for this house, shine it by hand, and keep it so clean the glow can be seen all over the land. Makes off with the dream will be yours. Take care of this house, be always on call. For this house is the hope of us all. This house, keep it from harm. If bandits break in, sound the alarm. Care for this house, shine it by hand, and keep it so clean the glow can be seen all over the land. Be careful and someone makes off with a dream, the dream will be yours. Take care of this house, be always on call. Care for this house, it's the hope of.
The 2021 watchword for Ephraim Moravian Church is from Psalm 32, verse 8. The Lord said, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. Please join us in singing Son of Righteousness.
Church to
come to that time of worship where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We do want to thank the Lord for 168 years. We want to remember in our prayers Annette and her husband Jeff. Jeff has been undergoing some terrible physical illnesses and is now in hospice care. So please remember Jeff in your prayers and his wife Annette. And we have continued prayers for Sarah and Brianna, for Dave, Chris, and daughter Erin, Gail, Greg, Marguerite, Tammy, Jewel Ann, Ray, Kevin, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. When we bring these dear ones and lift them up in prayer, we have to remember that many of them are facing chronic conditions. And day in and day out, they have to face these challenges. And we want them to know that we lift them up each week, knowing that our Lord loves them and cares for them. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for the ministry you have entrusted in our hands. We're so grateful for our ancestors who saw this land and decided to build something not only for themselves but for generations to come. We ask that you would continue to bless and keep our church and this community. We would remember Annette and her husband Jeff in our prayers today. We ask that you would gently lead Jeff home, that you would give to Annette your grace, your mercy, and your peace beyond all understanding. For those whom we have lifted up, who are enduring chronic illnesses, we ask that your grace would be showered upon them, that they would know that they are not abandoned, that underneath them are the everlasting arms. We place ourselves in your care today, for we ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour.
First scripture lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Our second reading comes from the book of Acts. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his sufferings, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they came together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken away from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our reflection is written by Kathleen Harris, entitled, Take Your Pick. For me, reading passages from the four Gospels is a go-to remedy when connections to God seem frayed. The writing is alive with mystic symbolism, yet familiar. The pastoral village settings are soothing. The book of Acts, on the other hand, quoted this Sunday and next, sounds different. Acts tells what happens to Jesus' friends after he left this earthly realm. Traumatized by violence seen during the crucifixion, the disciples were immobilized and languishing in Jerusalem. Suddenly, the resurrected Christ appeared and told them, "You shall be witnesses for me, empowered by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit, it turns out, offered strength, the ethereal kind. Another name for this spiritual kind of strength is grace. Luke, the writer of Acts, reveals why and how the believers traveled 1,400 miles from Jerusalem to Rome. Unlike most gentle locales of the Gospels, Rome is built, brazen, and brutal. Luke further enlivens the reality tale with flamboyant main characters and peculiar sidekicks. Scenes show ways to handle topsy-turvy situations that on the surface seem to turn out badly. Acts is an adventure story. Have you ever read Acts from start to finish? It's about living the unplanned life. Men and women of Acts recognize their talents, but don't stop there. They welcome in grace, too. They trade detours for a divine destination. You may discover new relevance in Acts, especially after this past year. Max Lucado, trained as a Church of Christ pastor, put it this way. The Wizard of Oz says, look inside yourself and find self. There's another choice. God says, look inside yourself and find the Holy Spirit. The first will get you to Kansas. The latter will get you to heaven. Take your pick. Amen. That all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My husband has quoted something to me over the years, and it goes like this: poor planning on your part does not constitute a crisis on my part. And he usually was saying this as I was in crisis and I was pulling him along to help me get out of the crisis. Now, being a kind person, he would indeed help me out of the crisis as he quoted this saying and fussed at me. Now, over the years, I have learned the wisdom of that saying. And so I've learned to plan ahead, and I've learned to be a lot more with it when it comes to looking at contingencies. And I've found that my life has been so much more orderly since I started taking that advice. It took him several years because I am a slow learner. And then I read Kathleen's article about living the unplanned life. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't set out goals and plans for ourselves. I'm sure the disciples did that. But what it means is when life slams us and carries us to and fro, and all the best laid plans are in ruins at our feet, what do we do? Do we fuss and complain and say, I'm just going to get off this ride because I'm angry and I'm bitter? Or do we adapt? And do we follow the Spirit's leading? Living an unplanned life, it's a little unsettling, but it can lead to adventure and glory, and that's what the book of Acts is all about, living that unplanned life. Now, the people who established Ephraim did not plan to be in this space. The original community was in the Green Bay area. And because of some internal conflicts, because things were not going well there, they were looking for another place. Ephraim was not on their radar. This was untamed forest. This was not a place where it looked so beautiful like it looks today. But the people came, led by the Spirit of God. And in their mind's eye, instead of forests, they saw beauty, and they were able to establish a beautiful village that lives on today. Why? Because they followed the Spirit's leading into this unplanned life. The disciples had a plan, and they thought Jesus was in on the plan, because as they followed him throughout his earthly life, they knew through the Spirit that he was the Messiah of old. And the Messiah of old was going to establish the physical kingdom of Israel. The Messiah of old was going to usher in the new kingdom of David. The Messiah of old was going to take his throne, and Jerusalem was going to be restored to its natural beauty, and all the enemies that were coming in to occupy Jerusalem were going to be kicked out by the Messiah. And all the nations would look at Jerusalem as pivotal and as the capital of the world. So, of course, after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, Jesus hung around, Luke says, for 40 days. And so they thought, well, the crucifixion is over. He's risen. And this has to be the plan. Lord, when will you establish Israel? This is the plan. And it must have been awfully disconcerting when Jesus said, not telling. You don't need to know that. Why wouldn't they need to know that when they thought that was the trajectory of Jesus' life, was to establish what they thought was the kingdom of God physically on this earth, centered in their nation? But Jesus said, no, you don't need to worry about that. I'm sending you out. And you're to send a message to the world about what you have seen and heard. That was not in their plans. It was an unplanned life. And he said, I will give you the Spirit of Almighty God within you so that you can accomplish that mission. And I often think, do you remember in one of the Gospels when after the resurrection, Jesus breathed on his disciples and he said, receive the Holy Spirit? What he was saying is, now you embody everything I am. You see, before, the followers of Jesus were following a human being around. After the resurrection and ascension, the followers of Jesus were embodying Jesus. And that is the challenge for us today, is to embody all the grace, embody all the mercy, embody all the possibilities of Jesus. And I think of what we've been going through the past year. I've got to tell you something about planning. I was so proud of myself last year. In January, I made sure that every single service for the year 2020 was already laid out. And I had sent it to the secretary, and I had sent it to the organist, and everything, all the hymns, all the scriptures, everything was ready. And then in March, all my plans went out the window. And I realized that all the services I had meticulously planned would not lend themselves to a virtual setting, so I had to throw it all out and start again. That's the unplanned life. And I have to tell you, it's difficult. But I could have never imagined the fellowship that I have had with people all over this country. Colin could not have imagined being here because he had his plans for 2020. And he didn't really know about an Ephraim Moravian church until our paths somehow connected. And after the shutdown, I said, oh, by the way, you want to come in here and play for us? And look where we are now. Cindy had her plans for 2020. And they didn't include coming here every single month. But look at how the Lord has provided for us these wonderful spaces and these wonderful opportunities, even in the midst of crisis. An unplanned life can make you a little crazy. But if we follow the Spirit of Almighty God, and if rather than looking at how awful things are, we look at the opportunities that we have to minister, oh, it's an incredible life. One of the things that distressed me the most this year was I couldn't get into the nursing home. And so through the wonders of technology, every single week, I was able to visit with people in the nursing home through an iPad. What a wonderful thing. So yes, I'm still going to make plans. But I hope that you and I can understand that when life takes those plans and shreds them up, that all is not lost. There's the Spirit within who are guiding us to new and more wonderful things. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the gracious Spirit of Almighty God that is within us, that leads us even when all our plans go out the window. And I thank you for the grace that has been showered upon this congregation, the grace that has been showered upon my friends far and near. And we ask that you would help us to continue in that grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, God, go before you to guide you. God, go behind you to protect you. God, go beneath you to support you. God, go beside you to befriend you. Be not afraid. And let the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend on you, settle in around you, and make its home in you. Do not be afraid. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you.
Oh my God, that was so cool. I had no idea that you planned the whole year ago. How disappointing. Yeah, give me. Well, I wanted to just plant a seed. Okay. I have a song that it's contemplative. And it has a poem by Emily Dickinson, and I thought it might be a good song if you were to do a service about re-entering sort of post-COVID.